Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Let's read verses 15 through 17. Luke 18. They brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them, those who brought these children. They rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him. His disciples called them. And that's us, isn't it? And he said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. No way you're going to be in God's heaven if you're not like a little child. I hope and pray the Lord will make us, if we're not already, make us like little children. Hear this, receive it. They brought, who brought these children? Well, mothers, fathers, someone brought little children, brought their babies, their infants, for him to touch them. And Mark's gospel said, to lay his hands upon them and bless them and pray for them. Now, there's no such thing as infant baptism. You know, Roman Catholics practice christening. That's not in the Bible. Presbyterians even did. That's not in the Bible. But it's a good thing. And right here it's scriptural. An act of faith to and love and hope to bring your babies, to bring your children to the Lord in prayer. That's how we bring them primarily, in prayer to the Lord. And ask him, Lord, lay your hands upon them. Lay hold of them. Get a hold of them before the world does. Lord, save them. I can't save them. The preacher can't save them. No man can save them from this untoward generation, from this world. They can't. No one can save them from themselves. No one can convince them what they're doing to themselves, what they're going to go through. Lord, lay hold of them at an early age. The scripture says it's good for a man, a young man, a young person to bear the yoke in their youth before the evil day, before the world gets hold of you. It's going to happen. And it'll only be by the mercy and grace of God if it doesn't save you from this world. So we bring our infants, our children, our adolescents, our teenagers, those we love, we bring them to the Lord in prayer. Lord, lay hold of them. We pray for them, but we want him to intercede for them. As a young man who was expecting their first child, and he was a believer, the man was a believer, and he told me later, I asked the Lord to not give me children unless they were his elect. Because it'd be better not to be born than not be born again. It's just one more sinner. Serious matter, you know. So we bring them to the Lord. Now, our Lord said, he was highly displeased with his disciples. And he called them and said, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Of such. The kingdom of God is made up of those who were once little children or those who in spirit and attitude are little children. Okay? Scriptures are very clear that the Lord saves infants, unborn, and little children. There's no age of accountability. If you're old enough to sin willfully, you're old enough to be punished for it. There's no age of accountability. But the Lord, the scriptures does say, and you remember the message from Psalm 116, the Lord preserved it, the simple. Those simple-minded people born with, you know, brain defects and all. The Lord is so merciful. and he saves the simple. The Lord would not have allowed David or had David to write in 2 Samuel 12 about his infant son dying. He said, he cannot come to me, but I'll go to him. Remember that? The Lord would not have had that man after his own heart write that for mothers to read who've lost their little babies and have hope. Would he? Oh, no. Oh, no. And David said that, and it's true. It's true. And so many other scriptures. Romans 5 talks about those who have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, meaning willfully, rebelliously. Okay? John Newton, whom I esteem so highly, that man had more wisdom, I think, than I'll ever have. But he died at 58, younger than me. The Lord gave men like that such wisdom. But he said, no doubt that the majority of those in heaven are children. How else do you explain a number which no man can number? When at any given time, there's a few that Lord, Wednesday night, are there few that be saved? Who can be saved? If it's so straight and narrow, eight souls during the flood were saved. Eight. Well, how do you account for a number which no man can number? Abortions, infant deaths, diseases and wars and so forth. The Lord is so merciful. He's more merciful than us. I've known men to get angry and mad and talk about this, you know. And why? How could anybody not want them to be saved? You know, maybe that person's not saved. This is what our Lord said. He said, you become as little children. You're not going to get into kingdom. You remember when Pharaoh took thousands of babies and threw them in the river? Who did that? Pharaoh? Did Pharaoh of his free will say, I'm going to kill all these Jewish children? No way. God did that. And what he did was threw his children in the river of his mercy. And it took them to the throne of glory. And they didn't go through a life of misery and sin and cause pain. And they didn't endure pain and suffering. They didn't cause any pain and suffering. The Lord's mercy. What about Herod? They had all those thousands of babies killed in Bethlehem. Do you think for a minute that anybody dies for the cause of Christ, that God won't honor that? I'm telling you, anyone Christ died for is saved. Anybody that dies for Christ is saved. They say they must believe. Oh, they do. As soon as they walk into heaven, they believe. Are you saved because you're... Were you born again because you believed, or did you believe because you were born again? Huh? Salvation's of the Lord. Now, this is what these disciples thought. Children can't. Children don't have the capacity. Children can't believe. What can they go through? What can they know? The question needs to be asked is, what do I know? All right, here's what they thought. Children, they're too insignificant. Get these children out of here. We're a bunch of adults here. They're insignificant. They're unimportant. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you know, the scripture says those that think they're something are what? Nothing. It says if any man thinks he knows anything, as he ought to know. What does it say? He knows nothing yet. He needs to start all over again. Paul rebuked the Hebrews, all of them, and said, you ought to be teachers, but it's just babies. I'm going to have to go back and teach you like babies. That's what he said. You ought to be teachers, but dull appearing. They thought the children were insignificant and unimportant. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. You see your calling, brethren? You know, salvation is to be called in it. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see that? God has chosen the foolish things of the world. People think little children act foolishly. We're going to talk about that in a minute. To confound the wise. God hath chosen, verse 27, the weak things. Little children are weak, aren't they? Are you strong? Am I strong? He said, base things, verse 28, base things, lowly, nothings, insignificant, things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If any man glory, says he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. And every one of God's people, if we get to glory, every one of God's people, now all are, but if I'm one of them and I get the glory, it's going to be 1,000% the mercy and grace of God that got me there. It's going to be in spite of me. It's going to be in spite of me. And he said in Isaiah 46, he said, I've carried you. You have to carry little children around. He said, I've carried you from the day you were born to your hoary head. I'm going to carry you all the way. If he sets us down for a minute, we're gone. We fall. Like a little infant. Children can't walk in it. Little infants can't walk in it. They thought they were insignificant. No, it's us adults who are insignificant. Those who think they're something, they're insignificant. You know what the scripture says about man, Isaiah 40? Grasshoppers. How much more insignificant can you get? Inhabitants of the earth, reputed as nothing. Put them all together, he said. They're weighed in the balance. They won't weigh up anything. They come far short of the glory of God. Now, on the contrary, when the Lord came into Jerusalem riding, and they were Hosanna, he said, he smiled. He rejoiced. He said, have you not read? Psalm 8, out of the mouths of babes and what? Sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Let me give you an illustration. Luke caught his oldest daughter when she was about 3 years old, I guess, 2 or 3 years old. She'd been hearing the gospel, you know, since she was born. And talking about how people need to know the Lord, need to know the Lord, need to know the Lord. Well, she was on the way to church one morning with her parents, and there was a man out there cutting his grass. And she said to her mom, asked her dad, her mom said, why isn't that man going to church? Why isn't he going to worship the Lord? And they said, well, he doesn't know the Lord, honey. She said, well, doesn't somebody need to tell him? Somebody ought to tell him. How much wiser can he get than that? Huh? This is life eternal. They might know thee, the only true God. How are they going to know? How are they going to hear without a preacher? Somebody ought to tell them. I told you about Hannah when she was 3 years old or so. We were in a restaurant and waiting on her food to come, and she just started singing, He is Lord, He is Lord. He's sitting there in a little high chair. He is risen from the dead. She was taught that from a child. And we both said, honey, 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 honey. And then we both caught ourselves and thought, no, let her sing. If we don't, somebody needs to. Maybe somebody here. Out of the mouths of babes. They thought these children were insignificant. They thought children were too foolish. Too frivolous. They play with toys. Oh, really? Who is more foolish? A child playing with toys or adults? 1 foot in the grave, is what we like to say. 1 breath away from eternity. Still playing with toys. Still given to the things of the... Tell me who's the most foolish. someone who's one breath away from eternity, from meeting God, and still taken up with this stuff. Who's the fool? The old saying is, there's no fool like an old fool. And there's no one more foolish than somebody that can fool themselves. Children don't fool themselves. They're just a little bit foolish. Right? I can't help it.
We can help it.
Well, they say children don't know enough. My pastor said this, and so you won't get mad at me. He'd been preaching quite a few years, 30, 40 or more, and he looked out at the congregation. He said, "Now, I've been preaching the gospel for many, many years. We've gone through verse by verse by verse by verse. Here, in here, we've looked at 42 books of the Bible, some of them more than one. Romans 3 times, John twice, Luke the 2nd time, and on and on it goes." And he asked the congregation, he said, "You adults," he said, "if I were to ask you to quote 3 verses of Scripture, could you do it? Just 3, after all these years." Children don't know enough. Now, these disciples were the ones that, you know, said, "Get them out of here." They And after 3 years, they acted like they had never heard a thing he said, didn't they? They saw wonders. So have we. They heard wonders. So have we. They saw miracle after miracle. So have we. They experienced mercy and grace, innumerable mercies and grace from the Lord. So have we. More so than that. And after 3 years, they were so frightened like little children. And he said, "Why is it you have no faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word." Why did they have any faith? Because they weren't listening. They didn't hear. They didn't learn. They just didn't. What's their hope? What they know? You know, this better be our hope. This better be our hope. Listen to Isaiah 45. I brought the wrong glasses. I can't see out of these. Wrong prescription. This better be our hope. "Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength." This needs to be our hope. And it is, God's true people. This needs to be our hope. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." It's his knowledge of me that's going to save me. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, he began talking to the Galatians, "Are you become so foolish? Have begun in the spirit, now made perfect by the flesh." He said, "Who hath bewitched you? Who could talk you out of coming to hear the gospel?" Who? What? And then he went on to say, "Now after you've known the Lord," or rather, he said, "are known of the Lord," how could you turn back to the beggarly element? He said, "After you've known," or rather, I meant, after he knew you. He said, that's our salvation. The thief on the cross, this better be our, this is our only hope. He had one thing to say. After it's all said and done, he had one hope, one plea. "Lord, remember me." Because I just don't know much. I just don't remember much. You know, if we live to be 70 or 80, 90, you know what you'll become all over again? A little child. My dad, there's not a wiser man in our generation, but I became his father in the end. I had to make the decisions for him. Did he mind? No, he asked me to. He said, "I don't have the capacity anymore." He said, "You just, whatever you say, I'll do it." And not only that, but boy, did he hear the gospel like a little child? Oh, Ron, didn't he? Every message was just the greatest message he ever heard. He would tell me that often. He said, "I've never preached like that." Well,
I'm glad you think so. That's what it means to hear as a little child. I'm going to get into that in just a minute.
But if we live to be 70 or 80 or 90 years old, our memories will be gone, won't they? What's our hope? To be gone. You know the lessons you'll remember when you get older? You know what you won't remember what happened an hour ago. But you know what you'll remember? You'll remember what happened to you as a little child. Lessons instilled from it. Or certainly the word that you learned as a little child. You remember those lessons. Train a child up in the way it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. It means lessons instilled. You'll learn. But you'll forget everything that happened yesterday when you get old. But you remember lessons learned as a youth. So what's most important? What's important? Yes. This is it. What we're hearing right now. Nothing more important. Children are so dependent, aren't they? So needy, so simple. Children, the disciples thought they don't have the capacity to believe. What have they gone through? What can they believe? What is faith? It's not faith simply belief, trust, isn't it? I ask you, who is more believing than a little child? You tell a little child something, they'll believe you want them. Brother Barnard used to tell preachers that. Be careful what you say. Somebody's going to believe you. Well, little children, they believe. No, the faith is received. Faith's not a decision that you make as a grown up. It's received. It's received. And, you know, little children, if the Lord deals with them, they're capable of receiving the truth and believing it. My wife has very, very early recollections of serious dealings. The Lord had serious dealings with her as a 9-year-old girl, and it never left her. John the Baptist had the Spirit from when? His mother's womb. Faith is not obtained. You don't obtain. It's not something you attain. It's not something you attain or work toward and finally attain it. It's obtained. You receive it. And faith is not in the head, in the heart. You don't bypass the head. And nevertheless, out of the heart are the issues of life. And it's simply to believe, to trust. And children actually have a great capacity to believe. You tell a child something, they'll believe it. If you're their parent and they love you, and you tell them something, they'll believe it. Why? Well, they've never seen it. They've never experienced it. They'll believe it. Why? Because you told them. Because you're the father, and I said so. Okay. Okay, I believe. Now, granted, religion, you know, they're full of extortion and they extort kids into professions of faith. And, you know, I think I could get most of our children baptized. That's evil. Evil. It's like putting a notch on your belt. But we just preach to our children like we do to adults. We have special programs for our children. What we're doing right now is pretty special.
Yeah.
This program, this thing of preaching the gospel, that's the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. To who? Everyone that believes. Be it young or old, right? And buddy, if the Lord saves you, you're what? Born again. How do you start out? A baby, not an adult. You don't hit the ground running, you start crawling. Now our Lord said that, and it said in Mark's gospel, he was highly displeased. He rebuked them sternly,
And he said to these disciples, he was talking to them. Now you listen to me. And he was highly displeased. He said this with a frown on his face. I remember my dad, you know, his countenance. When his countenance was to change, my heart smote, was smitten. Whew. Was your dad like that? Whew. Just let him look at me and I withered. That's what we need. That's what needs to happen to us. And blessed are they that are poor and contrite and tremble at my word. This is our God speaking. Our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. Now you listen to that. Whosoever shall not humble himself in our text as a little child, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child is not going to be there. No way you're going to be in the context. Now here it is. Here's what it is to receive the kingdom as a little child. Here's the attitude. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, I was going to have you turn, but don't have time now. He said, be children in malice, meaning children don't harbor grudges. Children don't get mad and stay mad. They get mad, but they don't stay mad. My brothers and I, we were kids, you know. We'd get knocked down, drag out fights. And none of them were my fault. But I had older brothers, but they, you know, we just you know, and my parents, that's made them, my parents madder than anything when the kids didn't get along. And often they'd punish all of us. That's not fair. No, what it is, Sarah, is you didn't get caught for what you previously did. Now you pay for that. So it's a wipe out. It's a wash. But anyway, we get knocked down, drag out fights, and just an hour later, we're just smiling, laughing, hugging, kidding, sleeping in the same bed together. It's like it never happened. That's what he said. You love his brother. If not, you're not going to be in the kingdom. You're not going to be there. You don't love like that, you haven't experienced the love of God. Because that's the way God loves you. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And my second brother, oh man, he did some mean things to me. He really did. But I can't remember. I just remember he did some mean things. But I don't hold him against it. I love him. It's over. That's bad. Who cares? Who cares? Now, I in turn did some mean things to my sister. I tormented her. She's the only one I could pick on. Enough of that. What is it to receive? It's to humble yourself. It's to receive the truth humbly. To receive the kingdom humbly. Salvation is by grace, not works. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He knew the law and all that. You know, blameless and all that. God had to humble him, bring him down the dirt, and look up. He had to look up to a man named Ananias. Who was Ananias? We don't even know who he was. Like Obadiah, a farmer. Who's he? He's a nobody. He's no Pharisee. He's just a preacher. Paul thought he's the greatest preacher he'd ever heard in his life. He said, and he says he looked up at him. Esteemed him highly. Respectful. Receive the kingdom of God is to be thankful, to be appreciative, respectful. There's some people older than me in this congregation that call me pastor. Some ladies call me my dear pastor. And you don't have to tell me what I am. I know what I am. I'm a nobody. Nobody knows what a nobody I am like me. But there's some people that God has given such a love for me, and such an esteem, and such a respect for me. God has to do it. Now, others would never call me that. Don't esteem me as such. That's humbling to me, and that's proof. That's proof that God has made this person to sit humbly and like a little child under somebody even younger than them.
Brother John Sheasley came up to me this morning, and he said, "Thank you. I just want to thank you again for holding the services together back when this plague started last year." He said, "I just want to thank you for holding the service back together." You know, some people got mad at me for doing that, for doing what I'm supposed to do. A shepherd keeping the sheep together. A preacher preaching faith, and people get mad at me? Well, he thanked me. You don't know what that means to me, John. And he's still here. He was here before I got here, and he's still here, and he hears every message like a little child. He never fails to thank me. A little child is teachable. You know, adults examine everything you say. Well, you know, I'll go home and search that out, like the Bereans. Okay, yeah, you do that. I remember my dad saying this one time. He said, "Don't make a rash judgment in 5 minutes of something I've been studying for 50 years. Don't all of a sudden say, well, I'll think about it. Something I studied for 8, 10 hours, 2 or 3 days." Somebody asked him one time, "How long did it take you to prepare that message?" He said, "50 years. We wouldn't question, you know, we esteem people in professions in this world, doctors and lawyers and scientists and all that. We just hang on their every word like their wisdom itself. And the scripture says it's foolishness. When a man is preaching God's word, faith put line upon line, precept upon precept, he has no ulterior motives. He's not out for your money. He's not out for you. He's not flattering you. He's not just telling you the truth, trying to lead you and guide you. He doesn't want the job. He doesn't want the job. He doesn't feel worthy of the job. He doesn't feel capable of doing the job. But somebody's got to do it, don't they? Be teachable. Adults like to argue and debate and analyze. Little children, they just believe it. Little children are enthusiastic. Enthusiastic. I used to read to Hannah, and because she was such an avid hearer, that I would really embellish it, you know. And just, I loved reading to her, almost as much as she wanted me to read. And then our grandchildren, I got to do it all over again. Both of them, I had one on this side and one on the other. Boy, I was in the middle of that bed, these two, they're just waiting anxiously to hear this story that they heard 100 times. They'd already heard it 100 times. "Tell us again, Papa." This is the greatest story ever told. We don't deserve to hear it. That's what Jacob said. "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all the truth that you've showed me. You ought to leave me alone. Don't tell it to me again. Because I'm dull of hearing and I don't receive it with grateful heart every time. You ought to leave me alone like you do the rest of this world." But God, rich in mercy, what does he do? Keeps telling you. Christ said, "You're my friends because I keep telling you. I keep warning you. I keep teaching you over and over again." Do you hear that? And this is what it is to be a little child receiving. Is to receive the gospel as if you've never heard it before. And there are times when there are times like that. For more times like that. Every time we hear the word mercy, we ought to say, "Hallelujah!" Shouldn't we? Grace. Amen! But we don't. Why? We're adults. Adults don't, not supposed to act like that. Oh, we're all going to be a bunch of hollering babies in heaven, aren't we? Enthusiastic. Adults. Adults are the cause of all the problems in this world. And children suffer because of it.
That's right.
You know that? Oh, the wars. Children don't start wars. Adults do. Children don't get mad and put out and want to and kill you. Adults do that. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Of such is the kingdom of God. He said, I say unto you, except you receive the kingdom as a little child, you will no wise enter into it. Seriously. Oh, Lord, make me a little child. Keep me. You know, the growth in grace, everything in this world that grows upward. Spiritual growth is down, 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 down. Like a corn, a stalk of corn, you know. That ear starts getting full of fruit and full of fruit. It's just going to hang its head. And that's what we ought to do. The older we get, just hang our heads and cry from the heart, oh, Lord, I'm a little child. Teach me. Save me. Okay. May the Lord bless you.